here today is going to be a very special guy. He helped to found this church, and he's our senior pastor, and he's all about empowering the next generation. So he is now actually co-leading the pastorship with Pastor Dennis, and we're just so excited and so honored and privileged to have him share his heart with us this morning. He's a father figure to so many of us, and just a reflection of just a father's heart of grace and mercy and love. So can you guys join me in welcoming Pastor Kenneth Kwan? Woo!
Wow. So excited to be here. Good morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's always a joy to gather with other things to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of you, that we can come to approach you and receive life, receive light, and receive grace, and receive truth. With the Spirit of God permeate in this room, intensify your presence, and give us this message, and also lead us into the next season of influencing leadership. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Around the season of 27th anniversary, the Lord impressed me and Pastor Dennis that this is about the time that we should make a transition of this church, starting as an immigrant church, but going to be transitioned into Asian American church and ultimately leading into a multi-ethnic church. So we start this journey, especially aiming as next year, 2019. It's a really exciting time. So today, I would like to share with you this message, new seasons of influencing leadership. You know, today, we're also going to have a communion. Back to 2,000 years ago, Jesus led the first communion in the first Passover. In the passage of Luke chapter 22, actually he mentioned about something that a lot of us may overlook when we reach this passage. He said to the disciples, "I eagerly desire to eat this Passover with you," the 12 disciples, "before I suffer." Later on, he said that, "For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves?" Now, there were two groups of people. One was those sitting around the table, namely the 12 disciples. And another group only had one person, that was Jesus Christ. He washed the feet of the disciple. So he said that, is it not the one who is at the table, but I am among you as one who serves. In other words, in Jesus' perspective, at that moment, he perceived these disciples as someone greater than the servant at that moment whom he was. And he said that, how great are you guys? Well, and I conferred on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table here in the present time in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, we all know that these 12 disciples was given the honor and privilege that no other people have to rule over so-called the 12 tribes. That was very unique. But what Jesus put up was not in the future tense, but in a present tense. In other words, Jesus is saying that, if you guys can believe, then let me tell you, I'm serving you. You are actually just like the 12 ruler sitting around this table, the communion table. And then you are actually playing the role of leadership. Now, none of them could believe it, or none of them could capture it, because they were overwhelmed with the sadness, knowing Jesus was going to depart from them. On the other hand, none of them looked like really leaders. As a matter of fact, one of them, even later on, betrayed Jesus. But without looking at the external circumstances or the condition of those disciples, or the so-called quality of this man, Jesus says that here, right at this moment, if you guys have faith, you know that I'm initiating a very important transition, leadership transition. This is going to be a new season of influencing leaders upon you guys. Now, that is what happened exactly at that evening. So I want to present it to you. Get ready for a new season. As for us, just like for them, even though at that moment they could hardly believe it could happen. In Jesus' heart, it's always about the leadership, because leadership had to do with the future. Without his presence physically, when those people were there, there would be influence. And there was the beginning of the church birth and also the spread out of the gospel. Well, right after that passage, however, verse 31, Jesus turned to the leader of that group, that unlikely to be qualified to be the leader. Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." In other words, you are not going to finish the task I'm going to entrust to you by yourself. It must be a teamwork, and you need each one another. Well, Peter replied, let's read it together. But he replied, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." Continues. Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." First of all, you recognize that Satan has to ask permission from the Lord Jesus in order to bring a test or temptation to Peter. And Jesus grants that permission. You know, whenever we get into a new season, especially that is called a promotion, Satan will come around and try to pull you down and destroy the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And exactly it happened in that situation. Even though Jesus gave a permission for Satan to test Peter, but Jesus followed up with a prayer. But what did he pray for? Did he just pray for Simon able to overcome that temptation so that he would not deny Jesus three times? Not really, because Jesus clearly prophesied that, "Peter, you will deny me three times." So what did Jesus pray for? What was the content? Well, you need to get to another passage in Matthew chapter 26. It talks about that Peter actually had another statement. He said that even if all fall away, but I will never. Can you pick up that kind of prideful spirit? Everybody will be a failure, but I will be the winner, and I can sustain it. So when Jesus prayed for him, he prayed that, "Peter, your faith may not fail, even though you may fail in the trial or test, but your faith may not fail." Now, that's a big difference. You cannot tell a person who is prideful that you are very prideful. The person would not know. That's sort of like a blind spot. So Jesus allowed the future leader to experience something, a test, that may cause him to have bankruptcy of faith in order for him to recognize this kind of pride. Because pride and faith, sometimes they come together. And it's very difficult for us to discern, especially for us, ourselves. Basically, pride is saying that, "I can do it. I can do it by my might." Faith is, "I can do it by God's Spirit. He empowered me. I can do it with his help." But we all the time thinking that, Jesus, we believe in you. We love you. We have a good intention. So that I think that we can do it. Now, with that kind of spirit, a lot of time, Jesus cannot really use us. Or even though when we actually become a very successful leader, 10 years down the road, 2 decades later, we may fall. And at that moment, that would even causing more problems, more destructive consequence, hurting more people. But when was the beginning point? The root cause was or the pride prior, 10 years ago or 2 decades ago. Jesus so loved Peter. Therefore, he allowed him to go through this test with a failing score in order to save him, to be a successful leader with the lasting life impact. Well, too bad. Peter did fail. And then he denied Jesus 3 times. And then later on, he went out to cry bitterly. And then by the time Jesus died on the cross, 3 days later, he was resurrected by the Spirit or by God, the Father. And in this passage, there was mentioned by Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, here chapter 15, verse 3 and 5. It mentions about the sequence of Christ's work after his resurrection. Prior to his first appearance to the 12 disciples, at that moment, only 11, because Judas already betrayed Jesus and he committed suicide. Jesus appeared to Peter first. Hey, why bother? Anyway, Peter will be among this group of so-called 12. Jesus, you're going to see him. How come you need to make a special trip to visit Peter? Well, obviously, as I mentioned, Peter went through the bankruptcy of faith. And then even at that moment when he would see Jesus, he would lose his courage to be the leader among this group. So embarrassing, so much shame. But Jesus, I don't know about what kind of content that Jesus talked to Peter in the meeting, but I trust that Jesus would say that, Peter, even though you fail me, but I don't believe that you are a failure. I still believe in you. I still believe in you. You know, the faith is not just, I believe in God. It's more than that. It's very subjective. I believe that God, you can use me to do great work. And not only me, and also other people. But I'm among this group of people. We need one another. But I know that I have a unique place in this whole team, in your whole task, whole mission. And Lord, I know that you can use me. I have faith in you. That's called self-confidence in Christ. Amen. You know, from time to time, we thought that we have a faith, objective faith, but we just don't believe that God is going to use me. Well, there was time that I thought God was going to use me, and then I fell, I fumbled, and then I lost all my trust on myself. You know, the genuine faith only arises when my pride fails. And then the genuine faith was survive or was surface. At that moment, it comes as a form of self-confidence. I know that God, you're going to use me, and you can use me in Christ Jesus. Now, I can still do it, but no longer by my strength, because that was failure, but by your might. And that will be a success. Not for me, but for you. For your glory's sake. Amen! Now that's the type of faith. I call it pride-filled type of faith that the Lord wants to release to Peter and to this group of people. Because even before Jesus died on the cross, they already have the struggle and quarrel and then fighting who will become the greatest after Jesus departs. So everybody have the pride. What I want to share with you, church, the Lord is going to use the English-speaking body of the VOH to become the leader, to spearhead the next move of God through this ministry. We are going to win so many Asian Americans for Christ and even reach out to non-Asian, because these also all multi-ethnic groups are loved by Jesus. And we owe them the debt of not sharing the gospel with them. So, before I said that the Lord's going to use us, and even in the communion later on, where's the communion? Oh, yeah, over there, communion later on. I want to, this will become an activating moment to signify, or prophetic act, to signifying that indeed this church, this English-speaking body, is already entered into a new season of influencing leadership. That will be transited from so-called Chinese-speaking into the English-speaking. Because only through the English-speaking body that we can reach out to the Asian-American as well as the multi-ethnic group. Well, what about the Chinese-speaking do? That we will continue faithfully to reach out to the people, let's say, new arrival immigrants or people from a Chinese-speaking world. We still have a task to do. But together, we can reach out to all nations. You know, after the first thing, now second thing I want to share with you. Leadership challenge, number one, you need to overcome that faith. Or else, we're thinking about, yeah, we are somebody. Okay, when you see someone there on the other building and say, you guys' culture is not good, language, I don't know what you guys are doing. I just want to encourage you, I charge you, never allow this kind of spirit sneak into your thought. We need each other. They will become like a mentor. We will become the leaders here. The two ships must move together as a fleet. We need each other. As a matter of fact, we need each other. Those people sitting next to you, even in this English-speaking body too. Now, number two, is that after Jesus resurrected, the third time he revealed it to his disciple. At that time, Peter brought another six guys and then went out for fishing. And then so after that, and they've encountered Jesus again, and after the breakfast, so-called, and Jesus talked to Peter again. Let's read this passage together. And John chapter 21, verse 15. Let's read together. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Do you love me more than this?" Of course. He said that, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." It's not enough to say that I love you. You do not know how much you love the person until his or her competitor show up. Then, among this list of one, two, three people or things, you prioritize them. And then you know who or what kind of thing that you love most. Well, first of all, reflect by the time. For instance, like let's say when we have an appointment with the person, and then are you on time to meet with the person? If it's a really, really important person, you will arrive ahead of time, earlier. If it's okay, so-so, yeah, I try to make it. On time, 3 minutes late, but still on time. Well, if the person is not that important or you think that they tolerate you, and then it could be 10, 15 minutes, you know, Chinese time. You know, I'm sorry. The Chinese is really bad. I mean, including myself, I apologize. Now, that reflected the time, the on time reflected the priority of that person, how much you love the person. Basically, Jesus is not asking about, do you love me? He asking, do you love me more than this? He wants to be the first. He asked Peter, do you love the breakfast more than I do? Or love the fishing, love the ministry, or care about your career? I mean, sitting here among us, I pray that you all become the leaders. You know, just like there is very influential churches, like among our movement, Vineyard Movement, or like Bethel Church. You know, bless so many people. It's not just about the pastor. It's not just about the leaders. It's about everyone. Come together. We are called a church. And then we bring forth the impact. Because those people, even let's say the people driving the guests, come in this parking lot, they are not run into the pastor as a first encounter, but those traffic controllers. So whatever they express themselves as honoring these guests, that will represent the church. So if a church become the leader, have a leadership influence, starting not from the pastor, but starting from each congregation, and now we need to come together. But do we love Jesus more than anything else? We may have our job, we may have a career or other family or mortgage or children, everything. They are the blessing of God. They are all good. But are they being prioritized ahead of Jesus? Your time, your finance, the arrangement of your time and finance will show and reveal. May the Lord really protect our church, future leaders. You guys have great, ladies, have great leadership influence. Even people haven't shown up yet and sitting on this chair, this empty chair representing a multitude of people going to come in because of the influence of your leadership, of this church ministry. But we need to set our heart right first. Jesus first type of love must prevail in the VOH. Amen. Well, there's another last challenge. Is that, wow, after that. Well, actually, I need to, backward. That whole sequence. In John chapter 21, it talks about, well, that's a story that I mentioned a little bit. Simon Peter and other disciples, actually six more, went out and got into the boat to fish. But that night, they caught nothing. And then Jesus said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. All right. Now, first, you will see that they caught nothing. Number two, Jesus said something and they follow. Number three, the consequence was that they got a large amount of fish. Okay. Now, go back 3 years prior to this event. That was recorded in Luke chapter 5. Simon already get to know with Jesus, but he hasn't decided to follow Jesus. That day, Jesus used his boat and then asked him to go out to the deep water. And Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the net began to break. Now, also, this sequence, they got nothing the previous night. Number two, they followed the instruction of Jesus. Number three, the consequence was they got caught such a large number of fish. What I'm saying, well of course, afterward, and then, let's see, here it said that, Luke chapter 5, verse 10. Let's read together. Then Jesus said to Simon, from now on, you will fish for people. Almost similar, identical in these two incidents, but they were 3 years apart. Basically, Peter knew that Jesus has a mission for him and for his team to produce leadership influence, not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles because of the Great Commission. But Peter, having that assignment in his head, his heart, his emotion was cold. Until Jesus revealed to him that 3 years ago, in a similar setting, that the Lord had gave him a charge. From now on, you will fish for men. You will become a fisher of men. And then 3 years later, he ran into the similar situation. His emotional of that kind of setting or the passion, not only for Jesus, but the passion for the calling, for the kingdom mission, and rekindled again. What I'm saying is, God has a mission for us. The leadership influence will not lead us into just like doing in-click caring. We only care for ourselves. And then more meeting, more birthday party, just for our family, for ourselves. No! It's not just for ourselves. When we have this kind of opportunity, We should invite more outside people to come, non-believers to come, so that we turn every moment into a season of outreach and harvesting. That's what the Lord asks us for. And then, but from time to time, we know that, but we just don't feel like that. We just don't have the urge. But here, when Jesus renewed the heart of Peter, with this kind of similar setting, I believe that his heart had a burning. So that soul rescuing mission must be in a present tense. I want to lead you into the communion with this saying. You know, as I mentioned to you, Luke chapter 22, 15, it said that Jesus took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying that this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then in verse 20, he said that in the same way, after the supper, well, he took the cup and saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. We all know that. We should remember the Lord with this communion. Remember his sacrifice. Remember his love for us. Remember his cross. I know that. But what else? If I ask you to have further description, it may be just come into your mind is blank. Because a lot of time, our encounter with Christ may not be present tense. It could be 10 years ago when I first became a Christian, or 10 months ago when something happened, or 10 weeks ago, oh, almost ran into an accident, thank God that saved me, or 10 days ago. But what about yesterday? If yesterday I have a bad day, today I come in this service with a bad mood. You're thinking about to give thanks to God? I can't. I've just too much murmuring in my heart. I'm just filled with the complaining spirit. But what we need to remember of me, that me, I was submitted to you today. Remember about Christ calling us to have a pride-filled type of faith, to have a Christ-first type of love, to have a soul-rescuing type of mission that all come into a present tense to overwhelm our soul. When I went back to Hong Kong this time, I went to the cemetery to pay respect to my parents again. When I was 4 years old, my father passed away. 42 years later, my mother passed away. I went back to the same site and to bury my mother. I went to the funeral home, the same hall, and I saw the same relatives show up, only different was 40 years older. In the first funeral of my father, that was in Taoism, it's one of the folk religions in Hong Kong. And then in the second funeral that was about my mother, I have the privilege and honor to partially officiate that in Christian style because my mother became Christian after I prayed for her for 27 years. So I have the privilege to share with all these relatives about the gospel and told them about Jesus Christ. Every time when I went back to that graveyard, I get the renewed calling and passion. So that day, when I got into the taxi, and then the taxi would bring me back to the subway station, I just feel so much compelling to share the gospel with the person. Well, at the end, of course, I pay him a big, huge tips. I don't want him to think about the Christian only have the lip service, but really by the time we run into the money, it's just very stingy, you know. There was time I also led taxi driver to Christ. What I'm saying is, every time when you're filled with the grace of God, you cannot sustain not to share this good news with other people. Let me close with this. One day, I just put in money into a so-called a card, you know, at that time in Hong Kong using a card, just a credit card. So I paid money there, and then they just upgrade and then increase the amount of money into the card. And later I lost it. I went back, I couldn't find it. First thing I thought about, what would my wife say to me? Well, then I thought about that. If that was my wife's card and she lost it, will I have the same kind of that kind of urgency to go back to look for that card? Of course. At that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. What about this is Jesus? Jesus already paid a high cost for all the lost for the world. Are you willing to go back to seek the lost for him in all of your life? I said, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord. I will. I will. I will. And that was a renewed soul rescuing mission, a charge that the Lord given to me again. And in the same manner, I want to submit it to you. Such calling. So, brother, sister, church, here, new season of influencing leadership. I congratulate you because the Lord promotes the English-speaking body to become the spearheading body into the VOH ministry and church planting mission in the future. Let us become a people of faith, genuine faith. Let us become a people of Christ first lover, lovers. Let us all become a people who rescue the lost soul deep from our heart. Amen. Amen. With this, we'll come to this communion. And I hand it over to Pastor Evangeline. And it happened to be my daughter. And the next level of leadership.